The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel, St. Matthew 25, verse 10. And while the foolish virgins were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. As the end of the year draws near, at this time of the year, when the days grow shorter, the leaves fall from the trees, and the world begins to feel the cold hand of winter, the church begins to think about the ever closer end of everything. Today is the last Sunday of this church year. And as always on this Sunday at the end of the church year, the readings from Holy Scripture direct our thoughts to the always closer end of everything. And during the Advent season, which begins next Sunday, we not only prepare to remember Christ's coming in lowliness to be our Savior, we also prepare for that last and great day when he will come in glory to be our judge. The judge of the living and the dead. There is so much sadness in the world. In our lives as individuals and as families, in many neighborhoods, in our cities, in our country and all the countries of the world. And there is all kinds of sadness. Sadness at the ravages of poverty and illness, both physical and mental. Sadness because of conflict in so many places, and sadness when it seems as if rich and powerful people, rich and powerful nations, ignore the plight of those who have so little, of some who have almost nothing. And then there is our sadness when we see all kinds of evil and cruelty triumphant over the powerless and the poor, when we see injustice of all kinds rampant. But what we learn from Holy Scripture on this last Sunday of the church year is that all this sadness will not last forever, because the world is coming closer and closer and closer to that last and great day, when the judge of every person, of every human organization, of every nation and country, of every church, will come again, and no one will escape his judgment. Yes, as long as the present world stands as it is, it seems as if those who are greedy and cruel and indifferent to the plight of those who have so little get away with it. As we say, they get away with murder. But Christ, the just judge, will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead. The just judge, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. Now, on the one hand, this can be a very consoling thought, that those who made the lives of their fellow human beings so miserable will finally face the just judge from whom there is no appeal. But on the other hand, this can also be a terrifying thought when we realize how far short each one of us has fallen from that perfect love and compassion to which God has called us, each and every one. In the wonderful parable of the 10 virgins told by Jesus, we are shown both the severity of God's judgment and his boundless compassion and mercy. Jesus says that at the coming of the bridegroom, the five wise virgins who are prepared to meet him go in with him to the marriage feast. But then come those chilling words, and the door was shut. And the door was shut. And when the five foolish virgins who were unprepared come to the door saying, Lord, Lord, open to us, the bridegroom answers, truly I say to you, I don't know you. And the door was shut. And the door was shut. Yes, in this parable of strange and wondrous beauty, we see both the severity of God's judgment and we see his boundless compassion and mercy. The just judge has not abandoned his rebellious human creatures to their fate, nor the whole groaning creation to final destruction. He has sent his only and eternal Son and Word to to save the world. And he sends him as the heavenly bridegroom to claim his bride. Now, when we read the Bible, we find that there are certain images that run through the whole thing. The image of the Father, the image of the Good Shepherd, the image of the Gracious King, the image of light and darkness, of death and life. And these images are not arbitrary. They are images from that which God has created to reveal himself to us. And one of those images, one of the most important images, is that of marriage. Of marriage. As we noted several weeks ago, the story of salvation begins with the marriage of our first parents. And it ends with St. John's vision of the marriage supper of the Lamb who was slain, but now lives forever triumphant over all his enemies. When a young man falls in love with a young woman, he generally tries to present himself in the most attractive way he can. But when Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, comes to claim his bride, he comes as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, who had no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. Instead, this is the bridegroom whose face and garments are covered with blood, and his head crowned with thorns, his hands and feet pierced with nails, and his side pierced with a spear. But in all of this, we see the boundless love and compassion of the heavenly bridegroom, who willingly takes his place under the judgment of God for us, so that we who can make no claim for ourselves before the just judge might be pardoned, forgiven, and at length welcomed to the heavenly marriage supper of the Lamb. Christ, the poor servant of the Lord, had nowhere to lay his head, and he had no material possessions to leave to his bereaved followers. But this poor bridegroom nevertheless gives to his disciples and to all who are his nothing less than that holy body born of Mary, which hung on the cross and was buried in the tomb and is now risen and glorified, and the precious blood once shed on the cross, but now pleads for us before the Father's throne and on every altar in holy Christendom. In this altar, when the Savior is truly present as the heavenly bridegroom, truly present with his body and blood, pleading the merits of his one finished sacrifice, until the heavenly bridegroom returns in glory to bring all who love and trust in him to the heavenly marriage feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb, with all his saints invited. And all the lighted candles and the colorful vestments and the singing of the liturgy of Holy Communion aren't just ancient and venerable customs, though they are ancient and venerable customs, not just decorative touches. No, all this embodies our joy at the presence with us of our gloriously risen Savior with all the holy angels and all his saints in life. For, as the Church has sung at Holy Communion almost from the beginning, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify the holy name of Jesus, the heavenly bridegroom who has made it, his beloved bride, and his mystical body, over which death has no power at all, not now, not ever. The just judge is also our merciful Savior, your Savior and mine. The blood-spattered man of sorrows is also our risen Lord who must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.